Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Kennedy, and you tune in today because you're sick of trying every fad diet under the sun and training yourself into the ground without seeing any results. That's why I'm here, to share the most effective ways to eat and train for sustainable and real results. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast and part two of the Instagram Q&A, which I started last week. If you haven't listened to part one, feel free to go back and have listened to that. I answered roughly six questions that I put up on my Instagram, or that I received through Instagram, that I thought would be beneficial for all of you guys that tune into the show. For those of you that are listening for the first time, thank you for tuning in. For those that are subscribed and listen every week, you guys are absolute legends, and I really do appreciate you giving me your attention and listening. So I'm going to make sure that I provide you guys with plenty of value today. I'm going to answer another five or six questions here. If you do take some value from the show today, feel free to take a screenshot on your phone of the episode and post it up to your Instagram story and tag me and tag any of your friends that you think would benefit from the episode and take some value from it and hopefully learn something. So let's get stuck into question number one, and that is how to best keep a healthy body weight when your body is under a lot of stress. Okay, so firstly, stress or overstressing, or you know, spending a lot of time in a stressed state will increase your cortisol levels constantly, which makes it extremely hard to lose body fat, which makes it extremely hard to concentrate, perform at a high level, to sleep well, and the list goes on. So the first thing that I would be doing is, one, figuring out what is causing the stress, and two, figuring out how we can reduce that stress and how we can implement strategies to make sure that that you are not in that constant stressed or high cortisol state all the time. And whether that be meditation, whether that be eliminating the things from your life that are causing those stresses, and obviously some things are not in our control, they're out of our control. And I always talk about only focusing on what you can control, because outside of that, it's absolutely pointless. But in terms of keeping a healthy body weight, obviously we want to be making sure that all the things that we can control, as I just mentioned, are in place. So training well, making sure that you're eating accordingly with your goals. So you're in a deficit for body fat, surplus for body weight gain, or muscle gain, and then obviously maintenance if we're just trying to maintain our weight, making sure we're drinking plenty of water, because we tend to hold a lot more water when we are stressed. So the more water we drink, the more water we will flush out, because our body will be trying to get rid of all that excess water. So you may need to go to the bathroom a little bit more, but that's okay. You will look a little bit leaner, which is always a plus. But again, just looking at how we can reduce that stress to make sure that we can eliminate that from our life, to make all these things a lot easier, because we tend to make pretty shitty decisions when we're stressed. We tend to find it hard to stay motivated with our training and sticking to our macros when we're stressed, and that's completely understandable. So I would be first looking at how we can reduce that stress in the first place. Question number two is how to create an optimal personalized training schedule that best suits your week and the things you like to do. Look, I talk about this with nutrition all the time. I think you need to make sure that your nutrition fits around your lifestyle, not the opposite way around. So you don't want to fit your lifestyle around your food. And I think the same applies for training. Now, if we're talking about a professional athlete who's getting paid lots and lots of money to be a good athlete and to be successful and to win games or win matches or all that type of stuff, win medals at the Olympics, then yes, you have to structure your life around your training because you're getting paid to do that. But for majority of us, I think it's important to make sure that it's going to be sustainable the way we approach our training. So if you know that you can only make it to the gym 4 days a week, then don't put together or ask for a 5-day training plan, because that's just fucking stupid. Okay, so you want to look at what's going to be most optimal for you. So creating that optimal personalized training schedule, firstly, you need to figure out how many days you can actually train. Now, I've talked about this before. I believe it is most beneficial to train every muscle group twice per week. So we need to look at a training split that's going to allow us to train each muscle group twice per week, depending on how many days we can actually train. And once we know that, then we can put together that training plan. And I always also recommend trying to pick certain exercises that you enjoy, because there's nothing worse than having a gym program that you just think about all day and you think about how shit it's going to be, that you have to go in and do barbell front squats tonight when you hate barbell front squats. So if you hate barbell front squats, guess what? Don't put them in your training program, because there's plenty of other things that you can be doing that are going to be just as beneficial for you and in the long run more beneficial because you're going to be more consistent, you're going to enjoy it more, which is probably going to result in you progressing in that lift faster and seeing quicker results. So that's probably my answer to how to create an optimal personalized training schedule. Can I mention a little bit about reverse dieting and the training included in that? Okay, so I've been getting a lot of questions about reverse dieting lately, and I've done a full episode on this, and I know it was very early days, so maybe it's something that I redo again and go into a bit more detail, but I'm going to give you a very, very basic rundown of what a reverse diet is and how to implement it. So after spending an extended period of time in a calorie deficit, we've reached a point where our calories are quite low, our training level is probably quite high, so our energy expenditure is high, and our metabolic rate has reduced or it's slowed down, our maintenance calories is a bit lower. I think it's very beneficial to start a reverse diet. Now, a reverse diet can be used to transition into a gaining phase, so to a point where we're in a calorie surplus without gaining too much body fat in the process. Or you can use reverse dieting to continue to lose body fat because you will most likely still be in a calorie deficit, just not as much. So that's going to result in you eating a bit more food, feeling a bit better, probably expending more energy, and then all of a sudden that energy expenditure or that deficit is still relatively similar, if not higher, because your energy output is higher from eating a bit more food, expending more energy throughout the day, if that makes sense. So the reverse diet is pretty much exactly as it sounds. So instead of slowly and gradually reducing your calorie intake to get to a calorie deficit, we want to gradually increase our calorie intake to eventually, as I said, either be in a slight deficit, back to maintenance, or in a calorie surplus. Now, usually the calories that you're adding back in are going to be coming from carbohydrates or fats or a little bit of both. And if the purpose is to stay in a calorie deficit, these increases need to be quite small. So they need to be small enough that you're still going to be in a deficit. You're still able to monitor whether or not you're losing body fat, and obviously you're not putting yourself in a surplus. If it's to get back to maintenance, I would recommend going from that calorie deficit to your maintenance within no more than 3 weeks. So quite big increases of calorie intakes for that reverse diet. If it's to go back into a surplus, I would recommend even shorter. So you want, if you have been in a deficit for a long period of time and you're done with that shit, you want to go to a gaining phase, you have no reason to spend any more time in a deficit. So I'd be getting back to maintenance as quickly as possible, so within 1 to 2 weeks. So pretty big increases in food intake. And then I would slowly make those increases once you've reached that maintenance intake again. You can gradually bump them back up again, but you don't want to be doing it too fast, otherwise you're going to end up in a huge surplus and gaining unnecessary body fat. The misconception with a reverse diet is that you can, you know, lose fat eating in a surplus, which is not how it works. The reason why people lose more fat as they increase their food is because, as I mentioned just before, you're increasing your energy expenditure because you're feeling better, you're eating more food, but you are still in that calorie deficit. You're still in the negative energy balance. You're just eating more than what you were before. So that's why people tend to stay lean for a lot longer, maybe even lose a bit more body fat. But it's a fantastic way to gradually build up your metabolism again. And if you have been in that deficit for an extended period of time, as I said, chances are your metabolism has suffered to an extent or to a degree. So you want to gradually build that back up instead of just going smack bang straight into a surplus again and gaining unnecessary body fat, because your maintenance levels would have decreased in that time period. So that's definitely something to keep in mind. But that's probably all I can really say without spending too much time about reverse dieting. The other part of that is the training. So as well as increasing food, you may also look at reducing your training, reducing the amount of cardio you're doing, which is obviously also working towards that negative energy balance. So that's another thing that you can take into account as well. What are my go-to meals, snacks, and takeout options from day to day, or things that I would have? Basically, I'm going to take this question as, what would I eat if I'm going to be eating out, or things that I tend to eat out? At the moment, I'm eating out quite a lot. So I've got a couple of go-to meals at a cafe, Dundas and Fawcett, which is close to where I work at the moment, and those two meals, one of them being a chicken and vegetable stir fry with white rice and some, you know, like a relatively spicy or chili sauce, I think it is, and no doubt some oil. So I just account for the fact that there's oil in that. I track it into my calorie intake. I overestimate how many calories are in that meal, and I use that same reading every time I have that meal. The other option for me at the moment is just being lately chicken breast, broccoli, and then maybe some rice. My lunches have been quite light lately, so that's something that I've been eating out a lot. What else would I have if I was out? Literally like anything. I'm not too afraid to eat anything at all. Obviously, if I'm eating in a calorie deficit with the purpose of losing body fat, I'm going to be more selective with what I have, because I don't want to use up majority of my calorie intake for that day just on some random meal that's not really going to make me fuller, not going to make me full for that long. So I probably wouldn't go with something like a burger and chips if I'm out and about, but I'm eating in a deficit. I would go for something a little bit leaner. So maybe I might go to Spud Bar, and a friend of mine is opening up a new Spud Bar around here, so I'll probably spend a lot more time, or when I'm on the go, going past there and just picking up potato and choosing my ingredients, so I know exactly what I'm having. So still estimating the calories, but I know exactly what ingredients are in what I'm having. So that's something that I would probably recommend, is that if you have the option of knowing exactly what's in the meal you're having, compared to just buying something off the shelf that just looks healthy or looks like it's low calories, but you actually have no idea what's in it, then always go with the option of being able to choose, or at least know, reading off a menu, what is in the meal you're having. So then you can estimate how many calories you've had in that meal. You can overestimate, do all that type of stuff. But if you've got no idea, it makes it quite hard. But yeah, to really answer that question, I don't kind of refrain from having anything. I'll have anything and everything as long as I can fit it within my intake for that day. Best ways to freshen up and change your workout routines for progress and fun. Look, I think for progress, you need to be relatively boring on certain lifts over time. You need to, if you want to progress at an incline bench press, then guess what? You're going to need to do the incline bench press. It's going to take time. If you don't like it, then maybe that's not a lift that you want to start to try and progress on. To keep things interesting with your training, what I like to do is I stick to relatively similar compound movements, and then all my accessory isolation stuff, I switch up, I change up the rep ranges, I get a lot of volume in, do certain exercises I feel like on the day, and just enjoy it. That's something that I like doing. Another way to freshen up your program for the week may be to reverse the order of how you're doing things, or just change that order around. An example of that is I've been doing 5 days lately in the gym. So I've been doing an upper strength on a Monday, lower strength on a Tuesday, upper body push hypertrophy on Wednesday, legs on Thursday hypertrophy, and then Friday upper body pull hypertrophy. The last couple of weeks I've changed it around to upper strength, lower strength, arms and shoulders, legs, and then chest and back on a Friday. So push pull. So I changed up a little bit, still hitting each muscle group twice per week, just changed up the order, and it's been enjoyable. Feels like I'm doing a different program. I'm still doing much of the same lifts, still training everything twice, still progressing. It's just in a different order, so it makes it a little more interesting. Other ways maybe to, as I said, reverse the order of your accessory movements, train with a training partner, really time your rest periods, take a deload week. That can be very helpful in terms of mentally and physically refreshing yourself before going into another heavy, intense training block. They're my recommendations. For someone who can only get to the gym 3 times per week for weights but wants to build muscle, what is the best training split? My recommendation for someone that can only get to the gym 3 times per week but wants to build muscle would be to stick to an upper, lower, and full body training split. So again, we're training each muscle group twice per week in that 3-day period. That would be the option that I would go with. So your upper body workout, your lower body workout, and full body. If it was me, I'd be programming it Monday, Wednesday, Friday, so you've got enough time in between. Obviously, between upper and lower, it doesn't matter too much in terms of only being a day, but if you're training lower body on Wednesday and then Thursday you're doing full body, then you're training lower body 2 days in a row, which could be an issue for progress in the long run. But for the 3 days, yeah, upper, lower, full body would be the way to go in my eyes. Unless you were doing lower volume, then maybe 3 full body days, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever it is, I'd probably try and, if you're only doing 3 days, probably have a gap, at least 1 day between each session would probably be the most ideal way to go. Next question. Follow strength hypertrophy training program at the same time. Okay. Do you lose the adaptation of one or the other following a strength or hypertrophy program compared to following both at the same time? So this is a pretty good question. And, you know, look, I don't have a heap of science to back this up, but this is what I've found. At the moment, I'm following a strength and hypertrophy program. So early in the week, I'm doing strength where I'm going heavy. I'm keeping the reps a little bit lower, the intensity, so the weight up higher, and not doing, you know, anywhere near as many reps, not as much volume, and just trying to progressively overload. Second half of the week, I'm doing more hypertrophy style training, so higher rep ranges, anywhere between 6 and kind of 15, sometimes a little bit higher to finish off the session. Still focusing on progressive overload. That's really important to understand. And a lot of the time, the compound movements at the start of those sessions are still a little bit lower in rep and higher intensity. Just different exercises than what I did in the first half of the week. So, look, I've found that my strength continues to go up, and as my strength goes up, that helps with hypertrophy as well, because the higher rep ranges, the strength in those lifts are still going up as well. What you do need to understand, though, is that if you are starting off a session, say a hypertrophy session, with a strength lift, so a heavy lift, low rep range, heavy weight, and you completely gas yourself and you reach failure pretty much, then your accessory lifts in the second half of the session, you may not be able to hit the numbers that you usually would hit, and vice versa. If you do bench press at the start of the session for sets of 10 and you usually do it midway through the session, then you're going to be able to lift more at the start than you would be midway. So your volume's going to change around a little bit in the amount that you're actually lifting. So that's something to keep in mind. But in terms of adaptations, I think personally that it works both ways. You can build strength and build muscle at the same time. Obviously, in terms of how much strength you can build, you're probably going to build more if you're focusing just on strength for that block. But for muscle growth, I think it's perfect to follow a split where you are getting a bit of both. You're getting best of both worlds there. What do you do when you can't train as much as you usually do due to work life commitments and obviously your daily energy expenditure? So the energy output that you would usually do during the day, if you're busy or you're traveling and you can't usually do the same amount of exercises, changes. What do I do? I like to, if I'm in a situation where I haven't been able to train as much as I like, I tend to stick to upper body workouts. So when I'm traveling, if it's over a short period of time and I know I'm not going to be able to get my normal sessions in, I'll do full body type workouts. I'll usually throw in a little bit of conditioning at the end of the session. If I've been sitting down for most of the day, it can be short, sharp, it can be high intensity. It could just be a run on the treadmill or a run outside, whatever it is. But I pick the exercises that are going to expend the most energy. I don't just go in and do a heap of isolation shit. I'll do a lot of compound movements. As I said, pretty much full body. I might do a bit of core training as well, and try and make the most out of that session. Try and keep my heart rate up quite high, so it may be more of a circuit style training session if I'm traveling. If it's a short period of time, I won't adjust my calorie intake at all. If it's going to be an extended period of time, then you do need to look at the fact that your energy output is going to be less than what it usually is, so you may need to adjust your calorie intake to account for that. That is something that a lot of people tend to neglect. And you know, I had this question the other day, and this is going to be the last question for part two and today's episode, but the question the other day was something along the lines of, you know, I've just changed jobs. Usually I would maintain my weight eating 2,200 calories per day. Let's just say that was what it was. I now work at a job where it's completely sedentary. I'm still training the same, but my energy output throughout the day is way lower. Will my maintenance calorie intake still be 2,200? And the answer is no, because you are not burning the same amount of calories throughout the day as what you were before on a consistent basis. So your energy expenditure is going to change, so your calorie intake needs to be adjusted to account for that. So your maintenance is going to be lower. You're going to need to take in less calories because you're expending less energy. Now, I can talk about this shit over and over and over again, and I talked about this with a client today, is that people just overanalyze nutrition, overanalyze all the small details that really are pretty much irrelevant, especially if you're not sticking to the main things consistently. But in the end of the day, nutrition is fucking easy as. It's as simple as making sure you are taking in the correct amount of energy, you're taking in the correct amount of calories consistently, accordingly with what your goal is. And that's as simple as it is. Make sure you get enough protein, stick to calorie dense foods as often as you possibly can, eat the foods you enjoy, avoid the foods that you hate. Easy as. It's not that hard. So to go back to answering that question, if your energy expenditure changes consistently over an extended period of time in a negative way, or not a negative way, but in a way that you are now burning less, then yes, you need to account for that with your calorie intake to make sure that your intake represents what your goal is. So putting yourself in a deficit to lose fat, surplus to gain body weight and muscle mass, and maintenance if you want to maintain your weight. So thank you guys for sending in those questions. There was absolutely there was a lot of questions. I wanted to pick out the ones that I thought were going to be probably more beneficial for a lot of people, and I think these ones have been quite good. So if you've enjoyed part one and part two, feel free again to take a screenshot, post it up on your Instagram story, tag me. I'd love to get your feedback on the show. Let me know if you liked them. I tend to enjoy these Q&As because I can kind of just discuss what I'm thinking at the moment and go over my opinion. Obviously, all of this shit is just my opinion, so take it or leave it. Doesn't really bother me. But thank you for tuning in. And I look forward to sharing next week's episode with you guys. So I hope you enjoy the rest of the day. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Feel free to tell a friend. And again, thank you for listening.